Off the Ball, GAA.
David Clifford is obviously on a different planet. Like, I actually think it's ridiculous that me and him both won the same award. Like, it's ridiculous. he's on a different level.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Busy show coming your way over the next 3 hours. We're going to kick things off at 7:30 with Dearan O'Sullivan talking to us about the All-Ireland Women's Final on Sunday. Dublin, comfortable winners against Meath in the end. 10 points was the margin at full time, and 7 All-Ireland titles now for Dublin. From 8 o'clock, Brian O'Driscoll will be in studio with us to reflect on the 2025 Lions tour to Australia. Getting into studio was a bit of an achievement. He was in Sydney on Saturday in the pouring rain alongside Michael Checa. So a semi-jet-lagged Brian O'Driscoll might be the case, but sharp as ever, I can tell you, from 8 o'clock. And then from 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Irish weightlifter Simon Kirtland here in studio as well to tell his pretty extraordinary tale. His life story is incredible. He was in an extremely dark place in his life before discovering weightlifting, and that just pulled him to a place where he was much happier in his life, to say the very least, and he's got an incredible perspective on what sport represents in terms of masculinity and in terms of society as well. So a very, very interesting chat with Simon coming up between 9 and 10 tonight. Our number is 0879 180 180 and you can get us on WhatsApp there. Cameron Hill, how are you?
Not too bad, Owen. How are you?
Very well. Michael McCarthy, how are you?
Owen, how are you?
Good. I'm not quite sure if getting from altogether now to here is actually a tougher journey than getting from Sydney to here. We'll find out after 8 o'clock who will be the more strung out individual, me or Brian O'Driscoll.
Yeah, it's not that the journey is tougher. It's the state you're in when you embark on the journey that might be the problem.
Well, I mean, that you seem to be casting aspersions there, Michael McCarthy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. The state Brian O'Driscoll was in getting on that plane in Sydney was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, but good weekend.
Great weekend. Like, the thing about it is that altogether now seems to defy all reasonable logic, where every single walk you do there seems to be uphill. Don't know how it's possible, but there wasn't a single downhill jaunt over the course of the weekend, particularly trying to get to the furthest away car park, which is where my friend was giving me a lift home from on yesterday morning it was. So I'm still, legs still a little bit tired after that. I mean, if any of the British and Irish Lions players say that they're tired after their 6 weeks,
please,
they ain't got nothing on us.
What do they know?
Yeah, what do they know about fatigue and injuries to the body?
Yeah. Heart bleeds, I have to say, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we
absolutely.
The rest of us that held down the weekend here in usual boring lives, humdrum, bouncy castle this weekend.
Oh yeah?
At home, yeah.
Oh, what? What are we talking here? Like a standard or big slide?
I don't know the ins and outs of the bouncy castle
world.
Well,
I mean,
world.
It would have been obvious.
Standard. It was a castle.
No.
What was the occasion?
The original birthday bouncy castle had to be cancelled because of a storm back earlier in the year, so it was promised for the summer.
Deferred.
And this was the
castle.
Random weekend in the summer where it was it came on. But I'd say I haven't been on a bouncy castle in many, many years. Some would suggest that I probably should never go back on a bouncy castle, but a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoes
My
off.
Calves aren't as sore as yours are, I'm sure. Yeah, you have to have your shoes off, of course. Yeah, I didn't think we'd actually be talking about this. Don't know how I've ended down this path. But good fun, you know. Yeah, but not as good, I'm sure, as altogether now.
No, thank you very much to everybody who came out and watched Off the Ball at the Go Loud Lounge over the course of the weekend. Everybody was very well behaved.
Controversial crappy quiz.
Controversial crappy quiz. Decided in athletic fashion. Of course, you know, I had a quiz written and the contestants were Ger, Cullum and Nathan. And shock horror, they decided to hijack the entire quiz and take it away from the person who had spent hours writing the quiz during the week. And they were like, no, we're not accepting your format on this thing. We're just going to go our own direction. And Nathan called up two contestants who were there to face off in a foot race to see who would actually win it on behalf of the tie-broken contestants.
All right. And inspired by Charlene Mosley?
Yes. And
you would imagine.
Nathan was like to one of the contestants, is your name Charlene? And she said, no, but my name is actually Charlotte. And it was pretty close. They called it a draw afterwards in terms of the race. And I was like, okay, you want to just keep this thing going for an extra 5 minutes. I get it. But Kathleen had her arm out and whoever got her hand at the first would be the winner, obviously. And she says that they literally slapped her arm at the exact same second. So it was a dead heat in this 100 meter race. So that was also uphill. Their calves are also absolutely broken over the course of the weekend. So that didn't manage to suss things out. I did make a big play here on Thursday about how I had one very good quiz question that was going to be asked. And loads of people, at least two, came up to me over the course of the weekend saying, oh, I couldn't actually make it on Friday. What was the good quiz question? So I can officially reveal, I might have overrated a touch. The quiz question that I asked on Friday at the quiz was, how many pints would you fit into Sam Maguire?
All right, you have the actual
I have the actual answer. We might reveal it at 7:30 before we go to ads, but get your guesses in.
Not as many as you think, I bet you.
There you go.
24.
24. Cameron's been thinking about this for a while, because, and I've also revealed the answer to Cameron, so he's not allowed to guess.
My original guess was 29.
Okay, fair enough. You're not too far away.
Way off.
You're not too far. You have undershot the runway.
Have I? Yeah, I would have thought that like a pint's a decent amount, you know.
Now, I thought, I had this brainwave walking home from work last Tuesday. I was like, that'd be a great quiz question. And then I Googled dimensions to Sam Maguire, and the top result was at the Reddit Ireland page. Somebody 9 hours ago. How many pints do you think of Sam Maguire? So clearly, unoriginal question.
You came to the whole idea independently.
Yeah.
I promise you, I actually did.
Like when Pete out of Mad Men invented direct marketing.
Yes.
Someone else had already come up with the idea, but he thought of it independently.
It's only a matter of time. Now, I'd love to actually test this out. As I say, I will give you the answer there in 20 minutes' time, but I'd love to actually know if this matches up mathematically. You are taking one slight assumption with the maths, because you're assuming that it's a half sphere when you do it all together. Of course, this is very interesting explaining the mathematical equation behind finding out the volume of
Sam Maguire. I can see why a race was then opted for the tiebreak.
One thing I noticed from the many Instagram posts that you and others put up from the place that I wasn't at was everybody's wearing very, very cool football jerseys. And then actually having taken that in and noticed it, and obviously a lot of Fontaine's, Bowes jerseys and so on, but other jerseys and stuff like that. I know there was an article actually, I can't remember where it was. Sorry, apologies to the author, about the new trend of football jerseys and stylish football jerseys kind of taking over. But it did feel to me like everybody at the gig was wearing either a classic football jersey or an obscure football jersey. It was one or the other.
I wouldn't call it a new trend, but certainly it's a long-lasting trend. It's certainly just a festival thing, really, at this point. I guess they're very convenient and they look good, which is exactly what you want.
I did see a team photo of like 41 people who had the Fontaine's Bowes jersey. They just all piled together and got a big team photo that just spanned. It's like a panorama, which is just such an amazing, like, Irish festival thing to do. These people who don't know each other at all decide to get the squad photo that could be hanging in a few different houses at this stage. It's just, I was bewildered by it. I thought it was great.
It was definitely the most worn jersey at the festival over the course of the weekend, and possibly the most worn jersey in the history of any Irish festival was Fontaine's Bowes jersey. Big applause to people who were wearing it on Saturday and Sunday, given Fontaine's played on Friday. Either a limited wardrobe or multiple Fontaine's Bowes jerseys.
Yeah, or, you know, we're trying to be cool and didn't want to wear the, you know, the gig. You don't want to wear the merchandise at the gig of the band.
Yeah, that's try hard.
The musos I know are very, very against that. Joe Soaps like me will just, you know, whatever. Like, obviously, where else would I wear my Bruce Springsteen t-shirt but to my Bruce Springsteen concert? You know?
Yeah.
I don't actually have a Bruce t-shirt.
You can let us know your guesses to that quiz question. Our number, as I say, is 0879-180-180. 36. 36 is Mick's updated answer. And the news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. You're going to kick things off today, Cameron, with the rugby.
Yeah, we'll tie a bow on the Lions tour and the Australian perspective, because they've scrapped the law which restricted how many overseas-based players can represent the Wallabies. The so-called Gitto Law limited selection of overseas players to those who'd earned a set number of test caps or served a minimum period for Australian rugby super rugby teams before leaving. I think that was amended to 30 test caps back in 22, but now it's completely gone. So head coach Joe Schmidt will favour players at one of their four Super Rugby franchises if they are, quote, of equal calibre to an option outside their borders. La Rochelle second row, Will Skelton, an Ulster-bound prop, Angus Bell were among the overseas players to have played their part in the summer tour of the Lions. Former Waratahs head coach Matt Williams joined Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, and he outlined just how beneficial the tour has been for the game in Australia.
More people paid money to go and watch this Lions tour than any Lions tour in history. More people went to the Melbourne Cricket Ground to watch a game of rugby than any time in the history of Australia, and the biggest crowd the Lions have ever drawn. These numbers and the numbers on TV and the money it generated, this has bailed Australian rugby out of the red. We were so financially broken that at times I was getting whispers from some guys I know, you know, pretty high up in Australian rugby who were not sleeping at night thinking that they were, you know, becoming close to insolvent. And they certainly had to get a big loan off World Rugby to keep going. This has saved them. Like, in so many ways, this has saved them. And the Lions kept saying, oh, but what about South Africa? We should be going to New Zealand. Like, you know, when you went to Brisbane Airport, there were thousands of Lions supporters lining up the flight of Cairns and the Barrier Reef. Right? There's a whole lot of things about a Lions tour that are just not about the rugby for the supporters. But a Lions tour is for Australia. The next one is for South Africa. The next one is for New Zealand. And the rugby was great, but they really missed an opportunity to engage with the people off the field and leave a legacy that, like Willie John McBride's team could have left or did leave in South Africa. There was a legacy to be left here, and they probably missed part of that beat.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous, and police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. It turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Matt's perspective on this has been fascinating, because it's a completely different view to certainly my view of this, which has been experienced through a television, through, well, maybe not podcast, because a lot of podcasts have featured voices in Australia. But certainly my experience is sitting down at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning or Wednesday morning and watching this thing happen on the other side of the world. So it's been completely devoid of the colour, the atmosphere, the immersive experience that comes with actually being at this event. So I'm looking at it in a very different way and looking at it coldly. I'm looking at it as how good are the test matches, how good are the warm-up matches, and how good is the press conference bants, for lack of a better phrase, around this? Like, where's the Razzie Erasmusness of it all, the controversy, the spice that gets thrown into it? And all of that was lacking from this tour. And I'm not saying that's good or bad for rugby, what Razzie did in 2021. Certainly didn't have the test match experience because of the lack of fans at the grounds. But it felt quite a forgettable tour, with the exception of Test 2. Now, if you're down there, if you're an Australian rugby fan, you're at the stadiums, it's now become clear to me that the experience has been totally different, and maybe we should make some allowances for that.
I think, but you have to, like, from our perspective, that's probably true. Even though we had three really, really good tests, or compelling tests, if you count the Argentina game that took place here. Which you don't. But maybe if it felt, I saw a lot of commentary on this that, like, oh, it's only getting going. Like, Australia looked like they're right at the races again. It was a dog of a game on Saturday. It was really hard to watch, despite the kind of aggro that was going on. And you just enjoy Will Skelton doing Will Skelton things. But it felt like the big talking point has been, why did they only have one warm-up game? If Australia had, like, two games under their belt, suddenly that's a really good series. Whereas it feels like it's like the end of Sopranos, where it's just faded to black all of a sudden. Like, there's been no satisfying conclusion to this.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. if someone doesn't know that at this stage, well. I really don't know what to make of it, because I was just underwhelmed by the rugby, and it's not necessarily Australia's fault. I don't know whether you know, the concept might be tired, or, you know, maybe you get to a stage where you've seen it too many times and the novelty is gone. So even though it's every 4 years, it's not that exciting anymore or something like that. So the thing, Matt's points about the crowds and like, in, you know, maybe it's an event junkie thing, but what harm is that as well? Do you know what I mean? And there's, it's a great place to go. So, you know, there's an awful lot of British and Irish there that will go to the games. The locals will buy into the jingoistic aspect of it and so on, and will get into it even if they're not rugby fans. And I think the tour makes a fortune in Australia, more so than it does in New Zealand or South Africa. So not that the economics of the Lions bother me too much, but there's lots of positives to it. It just didn't grab us, I would think. And I think that's okay. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of anger out there. If something isn't interesting, it's not interesting. Do you know what I mean? And that, like, I feel like that we're in the majority that just did not fully buy in or enjoy this Lions tour, which I have done in the past. It was better than 2021. I don't care how much, you know, spicy press conference Razzie gives. That's the worst Lions tour of all time. And it's not just because there was no crowds. The games were terrible. The feeling around the tour was obviously one too many for Gatland. And, you know, I was definitely just kind of left really, really cold by the fact that Johnny Sexton wasn't there. He wasn't in the squad because apparently he can't play 3 weeks in a row. You know, so like, it was better than that, but it didn't save the Lions tour the way the 97 tour did, or the way, you know, maybe the 09 South African tour did. You know, it wasn't one of those. It wasn't this kind of redemptive Lions tours the way you had hoped, maybe after two poor tours in a row, that the Lions, that New Zealand in 4 years will be.
Is it like a breaking point?
It could be, but they've been saying that for every few years for 100 years.
But you know, this whole idea of like, all the talk being this is the biggest game that these players will ever play in, and they've dreamt their whole lives for playing, and that might be absolutely true. Again, if you don't, as Matt said earlier on breakfast, if you haven't laced up your boots or played in a test match arena, you mightn't get this. So I'm coming from that perspective. But is it the game you really plan for? Are you sure World Cup final, quarter final, semi final isn't bigger than this? And it started to feel a little bit stale that this is the greatest thing. Like the line where Miles Harrison talks in the first test about, I think Australia are on the Lions like 5 meter line, pounding away, and it's like they're about to maybe score a try unless the Lions hold out. And Ronan O'Gara said this is a huge moment in the game, and Harrison said in the series, which I felt was just like, stop over egging this. It's a game, if you just let the picture breathe and let something like Melbourne happen on its own organically, then it becomes compelling. But egging it on to this insane level of hype can't be helpful.
Well, I do think the line about this being the highest level that players have reached, I think that's true, because it's the hardest squad for any player to make because of the numbers and the quality going for it. In terms of the best opposition you'll ever play or the biggest honour, that's up for debate. I do think some of the quote-unquote hype that's out there, I think, is kind of natural. Like, if I was in Australia at this tour, covering every single game or at every single game as a fan, I've no doubt I would have been carried away with the buzz of it all, because by all accounts, Australia is the best touring country of the three on the roster. And when you're in it, you just believe the hype so much more. You are a part of the hype so much more. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being on a bandwagon for a while and allowing your emotions to help you carry the story or to be a part of the story that you're telling. And I've no doubt that would have happened if we were in it or if this was happening around us, and we weren't. It's just a very removed thing when they're down there for a while, and when, again, our entire relationship is through the telly.
But also the circumstances of it. So even sometimes you can sense that through the TV. Sometimes you can get caught up in a carnival sort of sense. But like, it rained for a week in Sydney and then the game was delayed by, you know, a lightning attack. You know what I mean? It's bizarre stuff, you know. And like, I was very much in a, you know, kind of like give this a chance kind of mode. And it was a terrible first half. Like, it really was awful to watch. And the conditions were terrible. And then you're going, right, okay, what's going to happen in the second half? And then they're gone again. And then you're watching them on exercise bikes for like a half an hour. And you're just like, I honestly was sort of in and out for the second half. I had things to be doing, you know? And it was like, grand, watch the game. But and then once Australia got that third try, like, right, the game's over now. I don't need to worry about this anymore. I'll come back for the celebrations. But they did talk about on TV, like, even in 2013, you know, like, Sydney Harbour was basically flooded with Lions fans for the days up until the game, and it was an amazing atmosphere, and there was nobody around that week because it just never stopped raining.
We've got a text in here from Declan Offaly, who's guessing 34 pints in Sam Maguire. Another question, what are we pouring in? If it's something like a creamy beamy, then I'd imagine it would be a few less due to its higher density. If it's a beer, then the froth may play a part in how it fills up. My guess
you
is 45.
Sam Maguire when you're pouring it in. Just make sure.
I think if we're going uber scientific on it, we're saying water.
Okay.
A pint is a measurement, yeah. A pint of milk, if you want.
The frothiness.
No, density is important, yeah, in terms of how many you could fit in.
A pint of water.
The weight would be the same no matter what, but the amount of like pint glasses full of stout versus pint glasses full of beer would be different, wouldn't it?
It would have to be a still liquid for sure, given the calculations of volume.
Sparkling.
We can't have any froth in this at all. We can't have a fluid figure in terms of how much liquid is actually going to be in this. That wouldn't be allowed in terms of the equation that we've worked with here. Anyway, while it's great for the Australian Rugby Association and their perilous financial situation, the tour was still really boring and viewing numbers don't reflect quality. Happy Gilmore 2 set viewing records for Netflix, and it was abomination and means more money for Adam Sandler to make more rubbish. Your opinion? I haven't seen Happy Gilmore 2. Have you?
No.
No. People I trust have, and I don't know if abomination might be the right word, but...
You'd agree with that, Texter?
Well, I don't.
They would agree with that, Texter.
They would, yeah. I'll wait and see.
Where do you want to take us next,
Maybe
Cameron?
Maybe I won't, actually.
Well, Smithfield Square is the place to be for Dublin supporters this evening, where the ladies' football team, the victorious ladies' football team, will parade the Brendan Martin Cup after a successful All-Ireland final on Sunday. They comfortably beat Meath by 216 to 10 points on the day.
Yeah, this was a bit of an icing on the cake performance, to say the least, from the Dubs on Sunday. Start to finish, defence to attack, it was pretty awesome. They've had a couple of signature moments in these seven All-Irelands. Certainly 2010 is kind of a different team, but certainly the six most recent All-Irelands, there's an argument to be made it's the best performance in the final they've had. I know they hammered Mayo by the same margin in 2017, so it's definitely up for debate. It's not unquestionable, but it's one of the best.
It was how they got out of the blocks, you know, in the first 10-15 minutes. The game was over and Meade just were left kind of a bit shell-shocked, I think, you know. And yeah, I just thought Dublin were unbelievable. I thought, you know, there's arguments about player of the match and so on, but for me, Carla Rowe, her influence in that first 15 minutes when Dublin put the game away was unparalleled. It was an incredible performance. Like, real, she was like playing centre forward and just like constantly just kind of taking that like inside right channel and barreling down through, like, you know, but also with like touch and skill. Yeah, unbelievable performance. It was a pity for the spectacle, though. I think it was a game a lot of people were looking forward to. I think the idea that Meath had been improving all year and also in their games against Dublin versus the league game, the Leinster game, and then the Leinster final. And it just didn't turn out that way at all. They really weren't a proper challenger in the day. So it just did mean that the contest was over when, again, there was something about this weekend where I think there was a little bit of a absence of a lot of sport on. And I think, you know, people were looking forward to that game a little bit, you know, and it's almost a pity that it didn't grab us in the way you would like for the future of the game.
Definitely. They were the two big stories really over the weekend. The football final, we'll have Darren O'Sullivan with us from 7:30 to chat about it, and the Lions, where we'll have Brian O'Driscoll after 8 with us. We've time for maybe one more story, Cameron?
Yeah, some sad news from Roscommon today, and Roscommon GAA have led the tributes to former intercounty footballer Don Kinnellan, who has died at the age of 51. The Kilmore native claimed a Connacht medal with the Rossies back in 2001. More recently, he managed Galway club Moycullen to provincial glory in 2022. In a statement released this afternoon, Roscommon chairperson Brian Carroll highlighted Kinnellan's immense talent, ability and leadership.
Yeah, very sad news there. Indeed, we pass on our best to Don's family and everybody affected by that. There's more to come, as I say, on Gaelic Games over the course of this evening. Darren O'Sullivan will reflect on the LGFA finals with us from 7:30. Brian O'Driscoll after 8 o'clock. And then we've got Simon Kirtland talking to us about his incredible story after 9 o'clock. As I say, our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. One texter asks, what temperature would the water be in terms of our question earlier on? The volume changes with temperature. It's room temperature. The other variables cannot come into this if you want to actually make a proper scientific decision on this, because you work off the information that is out there, that the bowl of Sam Maguire is 42.5 centimetres in diameter. Go back to Leaving Cert Maths. You do the maths and you assume, again, it's a tiny assumption, that Sam Maguire is half a sphere, and you end up with the conclusion that 35 pints would fit in to Sam Maguire. So Deck Canoffley, who said 34, very, very close. Hit the post there, Deck. I would love to try this out in real life.
Yeah, you revised your 36.
There
you go. Yeah.
Very, very close indeed. So I'd love to try this out. It can only be done with water, no other variables. In terms of pints,
that'll be the crack.
Yeah. The email's in. I mean, please.
The modern players is, that's all they would have been drinking anyway. The days of pint men representing All Ireland winners is gone, sadly. Right. That is tonight's news round. Cameron Hill, thank you very much.
Not from the chats I had with Kerry players last week, but anyway.
Mick McCarthy, thank you.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.